Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the Basic Gospel live broadcast. And what's on your mind today? We'd like to talk about it right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, in the U.S., it's Election Day, and Bob and Richard, I don't know about you, but on the one hand, it's exciting to see our electoral process in the works, and on the other hand, I'll be so glad to get this behind us so the bickering and sour grapes can begin.
And indeed. It will begin.
Yes,
it will begin. Indeed, and we're so divided as a nation, and we can't just even have conversations. We see seeing a lot of posts on social media about, you know, regardless of the election outcomes, let's be kind. Well, why in the world do we have to encourage people to do that? It should just be part of, you know, our nature as human beings to be kind and civil one to another. But it's not. We get so attached to our candidates and our platforms, and it becomes our identity. And, boy, if somebody attacks our identity, that's a fight on your hands.
Yeah,
and that's what's happening in as far as our political process is concerned. And I see Christians falling prey to that as well. I mean, they are getting just caught up in that vortex, that political vortex. And boy, of all people, we should maintain our separateness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I'm saying we shouldn't be involved. We definitely should be involved, but we should be involved as aliens and strangers in this world, representing a different way of life. We are called to be ambassadors of Christ, and so we're representing the kingdom of God, and so we should speak from that perspective, from that vantage point. And when we do, we actually have something to say. Now, Paul put it this way in his letter to the Corinthians. It's the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and this whole section, chapters 3, 4, and 5. If you want an incredible study on the gospel and the message and what's important, I mean, these three chapters, you're not going to find any other chapters as important as these as far as the message is concerned. And our mandate as followers of Jesus Christ, as believers. Now, here's what Paul said in verse 5 of chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. For what we proclaim is not ourselves. And that's important because in this world, we see a lot of people proclaiming themselves, you know, follow me, you know, I'm doing great things and you can do great things if you will just follow and do exactly what I do. But Paul, that wasn't his message. Paul wasn't out preaching himself. He says our message is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, that's important for us to understand. He wasn't just preaching Jesus Christ. He was preaching Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, that was a huge statement that Paul was making in those particular times. As far as Rome was concerned, Caesar was Lord. And the Roman citizens had to give allegiance to Caesar by proclaiming that statement, Caesar is Lord. And so when Paul came in and said, no, Jesus is Lord, he was questioning the status quo. He's saying, no, there's somebody else that's on the scene that is far superior than Caesar. And you may think Caesar is kind of the highest, but not according to truth. Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's who we are preaching. And as Lord, as Master, as the preeminent one, as God Himself, then we need to follow Him. We need to give our allegiance to Him, not to Caesar, not to the ways of this world, not to the idols that this world holds up as important and as good and meaningful and all of those sort of things. We need to give allegiance to Jesus Christ. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Regardless of what we say we need or want or desire, the deepest part of every single human being is to know God and to be known by God. There is only one way for that to happen, and that is through Jesus Christ. So we have the light of the knowledge of God given to us in the face of Jesus Christ. That's our message as believers. I think it's appropriate to say these things and to read this particular passage today on Election
Absolutely.
Day, because we forget often as believers that there is someone who is Lord. We oftentimes look to government to solve the woes of this world, to bring about all kinds of social justice and change and to affect our culture. It's not going to happen through government. Now, that's not to say that we're not involved and that we are just isolating ourselves in a corner and doing our own thing. It's to say we have something to say to the world. And what we have to say is that Jesus is Lord and that the knowledge of God is shown to us in the face of Jesus Christ. And when we look to him, then we're going to have the solutions to our problems. Oh. And the deepest needs of our hearts are going to be met, and they're going to be met fully in him.
In him. That's the basic gospel message, everybody. We're glad you've joined us today. We have open lines. If it's still the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we want to hear from you. 844-322-2742 is toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. And friends, if you have received the life of Jesus Christ, you have everything you need for life and godliness, and you have it right now. In a CD message by that same name, Bob Christopher digs into 2 Peter chapter 1 to reveal the power and promises you have in Christ and how that through them you can participate in his divine nature. We'd love to send you a copy today as our way of saying thank you for your support. Request your copy when you make your November gift to Basic Gospel. You'll find all the ways to make your gift when you visit our website, basicgospel.net, or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. Either way, a great way, and we would love for you to partnership with us here at Basic Gospel. Once again, that number, 844-322-2742. And overnight, we had a couple of calls that came in. Let's listen to one of them right now.
I believe that when we get to heaven, we'll see the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see all three as individuals. I'm not Jehovah's Witness. I'm not Seventh-day Adventist. So my question is Revelation 5 and 7. John is witnessing and seeing the Father and the Son separate. It says that God is on the throne, the Son comes and takes the scroll from the Father. Is Jesus God? When we get to heaven, we'll see all three, or will we just see one? Thank you.
Well, Gerard, that's an excellent question. And I think we have to kind of unpack the whole story of Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. We see that in John. John records that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So there was the Godhead, the Trinity, and I prefer the term the Godhead. And so within that, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, John later says that God is Spirit. And so that's what that Godhead was. And that at a point in time, the Son became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus took on flesh and blood, he lived a sinless life, and then he offered himself as the once-for-all sacrifice for sin. He was dead and buried, and then on the third day was raised back to life. 40 days later, he ascended into the heavens. And so the glorified Jesus in that resurrected body, in that physical form, ascended into the heavens. And he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And so that's the form in which we're going to see him. And that's the form that he's in eternally. He's still God, and he's still fully human, fully God, fully human. That's Jesus. That's our Lord. That's our God and Savior, Jesus Christ himself. And we see this happening here in Revelation chapter 5. So John sees him, the all of creation worships him. We see that in the four living creatures. And we see this here, that he is the one worthy of taking these scrolls and opening them and bringing about judgment on the world. Only Jesus has that authority. Why? Because God the Father has given all authority into his hand. So that's what we're seeing here. So this doesn't take away from the Trinity. It doesn't take away from the Godhead at all. It just tells us about this man, Jesus, who became one of us, who overcame sin and death, was raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, and we consider him. That's, you know, we're like him, and we're going to have that resurrected body. One day we're going to see him coming back, and we're going to receive our resurrected bodies, and we're all going to dwell together in harmony as one. Richard, your thoughts?
Well, you read a passage right at the beginning here about that, where we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Jesus himself said to Philip, look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why are you asking me to show you the Father? And so God did something in order to reveal himself to us, and it involved Jesus being human. I can't explain it. I don't even want to explain it. He's God, I'm not, and I'm happy with it that way. And every time I've tried to come to some logical conclusion, you know, and write it down and in a page and a half or less be able to explain God, you just fail miserably because you can't explain him. You have things like this that give you glimpses of various, you know, how do we know he's talking about Jesus? What John sees is a lamb. And this lamb's got seven horns and seven eyes, which is the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. As soon as you start reading that kind of stuff, you know that John is being given a glimpse of something in heaven, in eternity, that we can't enter into. But we can sure rejoice in the fact that this lamb, this Jesus, is completely sufficient to everything we need. He is victorious. He is the judge. He is everything. Oh, by the way, he was the lamb who died, was slain from the foundation of the world.
And made it possible for us to be there.
Yeah. We're saved because of this person.
Yes.
Let's take it there and say, that's enough.
Right. But don't you think, Richard, we're all going to be very aware of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit? I mean, our eyes are going to be focused on Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we're going to be aware of the Godhead, the fullness of the Godhead.
But what we won't see is what we tend to think of when we think humanly is that, well, there's Bob Christopher and Bob Davis and Richard Pfeiffer sitting here.
Yeah, God is spirit.
God is spirit.
Yes.
He is one, and he's revealed himself to us in three ways. I think he's got infinitely more revealing to do as to how many facets there are to him. But we will be aware because he will reveal himself. We will see, we will know as we are known.
Yeah. And the great news, we're going to be like him.
Yeah.
In this world, we're already like him, and we're going to find out exactly the fullness of that when he reveals himself, when he comes back, and we're going to be with him forever.
Mm-hmm. In him, we have everything that we need for life and godliness.
Yes.
This is Basic Gospel, everybody, 844-322-2742. And we talked about this quite a bit yesterday in the broadcast, but so many times we hear questions from our listeners trying to find out the truth about giving to support the work of God. Well, the answer is contained in our booklet, Giving the New Covenant Way. And to give to our listeners the truth about what God expects from us, we have this offering absolutely free, an excellent little booklet. We'd like for you to have a copy. Just go online to basicgospel.net. And you'll find it. Let me hold it up for our listeners right now who are viewing on Facebook and YouTube. This little booklet is called Giving the New Covenant Way, and we want you to have a copy of it. Absolutely free. Just go online to basicgospel.net. Well, guys, we had the second call that came in from Kent. Let's listen to this one right now.
Hi, Kent calling from Vancouver, Canada. Wanted to ask the question, is it possible that in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, often it has been thought that these are one and the same accounts, but I'm asking, is it possible that these are two different accounts? That is to say that the chapter 1 is perhaps something like a million years ago, as opposed to the chapter 2 Adam account, which is obviously 6,000 years ago. So please give me your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Well, Kent, thanks for calling and asking that particular question. I've always looked at it as just one singular account with two different tellings of it. We have the general telling of it in chapter one, and then the detail as far as male and female are concerned, Adam and Eve are concerned, in chapter two. Now, I know there are many people that have looked at it as two separate accounts. There's this crazy theology out there of a sixth-day creation of mankind and then an eighth-day creation, and boy, you start digging into that, and you don't see goodness underneath that,
no.
But you see all kinds of division and racial orientation through that. It's just crazy. I mean, it's just sheer craziness. So I personally just like to keep it simple and to say, hey, God created, and this is what it looks like as far as male and female. This is what it looks like as far as Adam and Eve are concerned. And I think this is my take. In that second chapter, it's really a wedding. It's the joining together of Adam and Eve. Now we see that at the beginning of Scripture, and the end of the Bible is a wedding of Jesus and the bride. Mm-hmm. And so what is that foreshadowing? What was that first marriage foreshadowing? The ultimate marriage of the Lamb with the bride. That's what it's foreshadowing. And so in that marriage relationship, we see a picture of the gospel. We see a picture of the great love God has, or Jesus Christ has, for his church, the bride. And I think that's why he gives that detail, so that we can see what this story is really going to be about. We get to see just a little foreshadowing of it, and we get to see the full-blown event at the very end. Richard, any thoughts on that?
In all of the study I've made of this kind of thing, most of the time the questions come because people, the pros, if you will, who are making these suggestions, have assumed that there was, one, multiple writers, two, that it was very late, three, that, you know, this was just somebody saying something and people said, well, that sounds good to us. Well, you got to stop and say, no, the Word of God was given by God himself. God authored this. And if you accept God as the author, and Moses was the one who through whom God was authoring, then you can say, okay, this looks like the overview and the detail, like you just said. If you go there, you're fine. If you get caught up in the, well, how many people wrote it, and was it written, was this, you know, were these two chapters written hundreds of years apart or thousands of years apart, let alone what they refer to, then you're just going to be lost.
Yes.
Because you cannot keep up. I mean, God gave us this word. It's life-changing. But God didn't give us this word in a way that doesn't require faith. He said, I'm God and you're not. You're not going to be able to figure out beyond any question in your own mind how I did this. And I have to say, yes, Lord. I have to. I'm constrained to that. Otherwise, I have to disbelieve God and set myself up as my own God.
Yeah, well, we don't want to go there.
No, I
don't
want to go there. No, you don't.
Kent, good to hear from you. Thanks for your question. And Bob and Richard, as we get deeper toward the end of the year, we need to talk about Israel a little bit because we have a fantastic trip coming up.
We do have a fantastic trip next May 25th through June 6th. We're going to go to Israel. We're going to go to Jordan. We're going to do some just fantastic things. We're going to kayak down the Jordan River. I just cannot wait to do that.
Are you taking a fishing pole or anything?
No, no. I'm just going to make sure I have a life vest on as we go down. But then we're going to go into Jordan. We're going to see some just amazing sights there. We're going to go up to Mount Nebo where Moses was buried. And, of course, we're going to be in Jerusalem and the Sea of Galilee and just retrace the steps of Jesus Christ. And we're going to do so looking at those events through the lens of God's grace, the lens of this new covenant. Boy, when we do that, this Bible just comes to life in new and fresh ways. It's not that we have to go to Israel to be able to understand our Bibles or that sort of thing, but when you do go, you have a new perspective, a fresh perspective on this, and you begin to read it just a little bit differently. And you're just so grateful for this word and knowing that, hey, here's the exact spot. I mean, Jesus probably walked right here, and you'll actually step on some stones that are dated during the times of Christ. I mean, and more than likely, Jesus's foot hit those very stones. Mm. And you think, oh my goodness, this is unbelievable. And of course, when you're on the Sea of Galilee, we're going to take a boat ride, and those are the waters. Jesus walked on those waters. He put his feet on top of those waters, and he calmed the storms, and it's just a fascinating journey. Tomorrow we're going to have a very special guest, Eileen Mason.
Yeah.
She's going to be with us, and Eileen is the one who is putting all the details. She and her partner, Evelyn, and they just do a fantastic job. So every comfort that you need to take a trip like this, it's going to be well taken care of.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that tomorrow, but we want you to come join us and be a part.
You can get all the information on the website right there on the homepage, the very top, a big banner. Just click Israel 2019.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Garrett listening to us in Garland, Texas. Hi, Garrett.
Hey, Bob. Man, I got to tell you how great God is. When I called in that day, I've listened to the word since I came to remember the truth. And I say that because you brought up a really good point with your trip to Israel. When you hear the gospel, you know it's true. And when you walk those steps, I imagine you get a pretty profound feeling of the exact same thing.
Just overwhelmed with it. Just absolutely overwhelmed.
When I read your account of you and your wife sitting on the hill, and then man, I've gotten through about three quarters of it. I'm at Exodus, getting into that portion. I encourage anybody that's listening, you get the book. the first four or five pages. I'm not a paid sponsor or anything like that. It you opened up a lot of, I guess, understanding. You know, I had the fear of God. I had the relationship, but I wasn't relying on that relationship. I was looking to separate myself to some degree and do it on my own two feet. And in putting that aside and realizing, okay, that's just part of the process, and really surrendering to that, He knows every decision, thought I'm going to have before I have it. His plan for me to come to know Him as closely as I can has already been laid out by the one who can lay it out best. And so as you start to surrender that and understand that, the gratitude that you want to show God and Christ, it grows even more. That love grows even more. And I just really appreciate you you answering that question last week, and I'll hang up and listen. But I really appreciate it, guys.
Well, thanks, Garrett. We had a wonderful conversation with Garrett last week, sent him a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and that was the book that he was referring to. Mm-hmm. And certainly would love to put that book in more hands, because it really does just outline the simplicity of the message and God's plan that has been carried out for us through Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, resurrection, and ascension. It is God's grace from start to finish.
Absolutely. You'll find Simple Gospel, Simply Grace when you visit our online store. You'll find it under the Resources tab in the online store, and we encourage you to pick up a copy. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all of this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be here again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.